Audio discourse of The Plan for Restoration of Constitutional Government by Gary Hunt, Outpost of Freedom. Episode 7, Part 4, Coordinated Efforts, Securing Facilities, Allegiances, and Prisoners. Overview. Firmly established in small pockets, primarily in rural areas, it is time to begin breaking out with aggressive actions to expand the areas controlled by the constitutional forces. The first consideration should probably be sabotage. Linked is a sabotage manual from World War II from the operation of Office of Strategic Services. Sabotage is disruptive, generates fear, and has a negative impact on the supplies and manpower of the rebels. Targets should be selected for maximum impact on the rebel forces and facilities with a minimum impact on civilians wherever possible. If power, communication, or other utilities are to be targeted, they should be targeted at locations that will be close to the targeted rebel facilities or functions, thereby causing little disruption as possible to the civilian infrastructure. Convoys and supply transportation facilities provide dual benefits. They deprive the rebels of supplies while supplementing constitutional forces' supplies, often providing equipment and materials that might otherwise not be readily available to the constitutional forces. National Guard armories and reserve training units facilities are ideal targets. Personnel within these facilities might be enlisted against the rebels, while supplies, materials, munitions, transportation, and communication equipment, and a facility from which to conduct operations is a result of such actions. The more facilities that are taken, the more difficult the rebels' ability to attempt to recover what was lost. It does spread the constitutional forces out, so plans should be made to assure that reserve capabilities are maintained to support against any such effort by the rebels. Historical perspective. The first historical instance of cooperation between various committees and militia occurred on April 19th, as militia, at the direction of their respective committees and individuals concerned with what was happening, secured all but the shipping lanes to Boston and the harbor. Artemus Ward was appointed General of the Army of Observation encircling Boston by the Massachusetts Provincial Congress. He was displaced later when George Washington was appointed General of the Army of the by the Continental Congress and resigned as a delegate to take his place in command at Boston. The transition of authority and responsibility was directed by the civil authority in both assignments. It was a consolidation of forces. In the South, many local militia joined with others to mount actions against rebel forces and or Tories. The Battle of Kings Mountain stands out as a very successful assault conducted by forces from various militia units, consolidated under a single command, which resulted in the defeat and capture of a significant Loyalist force. Courts were established by committees of safety to deal with the crimes and Tories. Civil matters were left unattended to for the duration of the war. Many people in position of authority or who had been questioned regarding their allegiance were required during the war to take a loyalty oath. One such oath ended with the following phrase: "If I betray this oath, I agree to suffer the punishment of a traitor." Role of committees. Committees should have recruited many new members by now. Administrative responsibility becomes greater, and the need to join with other committees, county committees of safety, and more importantly, a state committee of safety. Delegates would be sent from the lower tier to committees to the next level, county. Each county then would provide delegates to the state committee of safety. A loyalty oath should be developed and records kept of who has taken it. Any person in any position of authority or who has had his loyalty questioned and is to be continued in any capacity should be required to take said oath. coordination of efforts, decisions requiring entire state cooperation or action, and communication with other state committees of safety are in order. Each requires greater commitment from all members based upon the increased responsibility. General direction and policy, as well as military objectives for the militia, should be provided on a daily basis by the committee or a designated militia committee, leaving to the command structure the detail of activities. As militia units join within command structures, commissioning for higher rank officers consistent with the size of the command must be accomplished. Supplies and compensation for active service has to be provided for. Logistics warrants special consideration, for much can be lost if the militia are not always properly provided for. At this stage is entered the probability of a general near battlefield engagements is heightened. Integration of local and county units under state coordination must be as seamless as possible to minimize confusion, disorientation, discipline, and overcoming reluctance towards the new command structure. Correspondence Committee. Correspondence committees move into the mainstream. Now it must act as the primary source of information for the contained communities. It will be assuming the role of the mainstream media, including written press, radio, television, and other necessary forms of communication. The enlistment of additional manpower knowledgeable in the various capacities should be a high priority. More extensive news stories regarding the expansion of the held areas, successive operations, civil activity, and generally, as much as possible, information as to the conduct and activities of the committee government should be provided to the public. Arrangements should be made with cooperative existing press, writing, distribution, and syndication. Militia Committee. Militia committees coordinating with their counterparts of security areas of the state need to begin evaluating the consolidation of the militia force. Recommendations for officers commissioned should be based upon the size of command. A recommended structure for officers and the size of militia units is as follows. A squad, 8 to 16 members, led by a corporal or a sergeant. Platoon, 25 to 60 members, led by a lieutenant and a staff sergeant. A company, 70 to 250 members, led by a captain and a first sergeant. Battalion, 300 to 1,000 members, led by a major and a sergeant major. Regiment, 2,000 to 3,000, led by a colonel and staff. Brigade, 4,000 to 5,000, led by a brigadier general and staff. Division, 10,000 to 20,000, led by a major general and staff. Corps, 30,000 to 80,000 members, led by a lieutenant general and staff. Army, 60,000 to 100,000, led by a general and staff. Officers and staff should be appointed based upon known experience in recent events rather than personalities, prior service, or any other factor that does not demonstrate the potential to be effective in the current situation. Correspondence committees should begin coordinating with local and statewide media organizations. Start identifying controlled media, syndicated or otherwise controlled, for future localization of control for local media. The correspondence committee should develop policies by which fair and truthful reporting can be assured. Judicial committee, coordination of a formal judiciary consistent with the common law, the intent of both grand and petit juries, and to provide restitution to victims of criminal activities is to be the objective of this level. Matters of loyalty will be brought before the courts, requiring coordination with other judiciaries around the country to assure that standards in dealing with those inimical to the Constitution, spies, traitors, and other political enemies are properly dealt with. utilizing fair and equitable standards, and that adequate records are kept to avoid infiltration at different levels. Liaison Committee. At this point, the Liaison Committee becomes a very important function of the effort to restore constitutional government. Any agency that can be brought over without violence and bloodshed becomes a portrait child for a smooth transition of authority away from the rebel government and to the role of the proper constitutional government. Intelligence Committee. As access to state records, criminal and otherwise, become accessible, dossiers should be created for all people brought into question as to their allegiance. Interrogation of those employed by government, local, state, or federal should be conducted to provide to the Militia Committee to assist them in planning their operations. Militia Duties. Militia units should be expected to be integrated into new command structures as units are joined together as battalions, regiments, brigades, etc. In resistance areas commanded by rebel forces, significant battles may ensue. The small unit identity will begin to become absorbed into larger, more formal military units. Additional duties such as garrison, guard, and other appropriate functions will become increasingly necessary. Logistics will become more complex, and forage operations will probably become necessary. Any property taken should be supported by a receipt for the value taken to the owner and a copy to the Committee of Safety. Operations and objectives will become much more significant and difficult. These, however, are a consequence of the success of the militia units in earlier operations. Compensation for active service and more extensive medical facilities will assure a healthier, happier, and more capable militia.